Second presentation I'm scheduled for today is to tell you something about new imaging techniques in gynecologic oncology and then especially its use in the mapping of lymph nodes. In Utrecht I have a research program running on that already for a few years, and some of you have heard me talking about this subject also before on this meeting. The research project will be finished next year, and hopefully I can tell you the end result next year or the year after. The objectives of imaging in gynecologic oncology are tumor detection, tumor diagnosis, staging, and follow-up. In fact, this is what you have as major objectives. Imaging techniques, we have several, and these days the cross-sectional imaging modalities have largely replaced conventional radiographic techniques for the detection of lymph nodes. And the most important ones are the CAT scan, the CT scan, the MRI, and the PET scan. And I will concentrate mainly in this talk on the new MRI techniques, because I think they are very, very promising in the near future. The newest imaging techniques are the PET CT, of course. Then we have the USPO, that is the ultra-small superparamagnetic iron oxide particles that are used. Then we have the gadolinium-enhanced MRI. And we have the so-called DWIPS, that is the diffusion-weighted imaging with background suppression. And these are, in fact, the newest imaging techniques, and we hope that they are so successful that they can help us to find metastases, especially lymph node metastases, at an earlier stage. Computed tomography is a nice technique. It was available for us in the 70s of the last century, and it has been the primary image modality for evaluating the overall extent of gynecologic malignancies and for detecting persistent and recurrent pelvic tumors. CT scan is more accurate in clinical staging, especially in locally advanced disease, in cancers with a high propensity for lymphatic or peritoneal metastases. The disadvantage of CT scan is that you have to use ionizing irradiation. And that also always means that the frequency in which you can use it is limited by the dose you use. Partly is also very useful in staging gynecologic malignancies. It seems to be superior to PET scan in the workup of uterine and cervical cancers, and the accuracy of assessment of lymph node invasion is similar to CT. Both rely on size criteria, and that is very important to keep in mind when we are talking about the new developments, because the size criteria also gives strongly the limitation of these techniques. The advances of MRI above CT scan is that you don't need ionizing irradiation. Here you see a nice example of a patient with cervical cancer with an MRI. Here you see nicely the tumor located, and here you see it as well. And these nice anatomical pictures can be very useful in the future in the staging and the determination of the clinical extent of the tumor in our patients. And refining these techniques is very helpful because it can prevent many more invasive methods. Well, MRI has an outstanding soft tissue contrast resolution. It has excellent visualization of anatomic structures and tissue functions, as you can see here in this whole body MRI as a very nice example. And you have also a clear visualization of blood vessels and blood flow without contrast agents, and it has multiplanar capabilities. The PET is another chapter, and here we come to a different way of imaging. The PET, in fact, was the first one who did not use the size criterion for abnormalities, but the metabolic properties. That you could say the abnormal metabolic properties of tumors and metastases. PET exploits the accelerated rate of glycolysis common to neoplastic cells to image tumors, and PET provides information on the metabolic activity as a set of tissues rather than the anatomy. The indications for PET are that you can see the extent of the tumor and possible metastases. You can characterize and detect tumor recurrence. You can monitor the response of treatment. And if you do image fusion techniques, then overlay PET images with cross-sectional images, so-called PET-CT, increases the resolution of abnormalities and lymph nodes to approximately 5 millimeter. And that is very, very small. And you can make with PET those very nice three-dimensional pictures, images, as you see here on this slide, moving images. But the 5 millimeter border is already with the PET scan a major progression, as you realize that when the CT and the MRI came on the market, they could detect abnormalities up to from 1 centimeter diameter by the best radiologist. And 1 centimeter is already a lot of tumor. And now the PET brings that down to 5 millimeter. That's a progression of 50%. But the assessment of lymph nodes in CT as well, MRI, again, relies on the anatomy of the node rather than the physiology and the function. A normal node measures less than 1 centimeter and shows a uniform on the imaging, mostly a uniform homogeneous density and a normal signal intensity. And it's difficult to establish a specific threshold value separating benign from malignant. And that has been the problems we have faced already during the last 20, 30 years. And you also have to realize, and we know that from the work of Benedetti Panici and others, published in 1996, that more than 80% of the node metastases have a diameter of less than 10 millimeter. So the size criterion is not very practical in detecting the lymph nodes. If you look in the literature, then you can read a lot of tumor-positive lymph nodes and their specificity to detect them and the sensitivity, etc. But there are nearly no data on the detection of normal lymph nodes. And I think that is where you have to start with, because that is the your benchmark when you're looking at pathological lymph nodes. To get more insight in that, in our institution, we have done the lymph node detection by MRI before and after systematic pelvic lymphadenectomy. And we selected 21 consecutive cervical cancer patients who were scheduled to undergo a pelvic lymphadenectomy. And they were evaluated by MRI scan prior to surgery and 6 weeks afterwards. And all these patients had tumor metastases negative lymph nodes at histological histopathological examinations. So we took out the group without proven to be without metastases. And when we restricted the analysis to the definite surgical area where the lymph nodes were removed, and that's from the circumflex vein distally in the pelvic sagittal up to the bifurcation, and we did that because when you looked to different surgeons, that you see that at the far end below and at the far end cranially, they differ in how far they go with their operation. But what they all do, they remove between the circumflex vein and the bifurcation, they remove the nodes. So when you want to analyze the method, you have to restrict yourself to that area, otherwise you introduce a variability that does not reflect reality. So when we restricted ourselves to that area, on average one node remained after surgery, while another three, and it was a range of 0 to 13 per patient, were newly detected after the surgery. And approximately half of the remaining lymph nodes were located in the obturator region. Surgery and histopathological examination did detect many other lymph nodes not visible on pre-surgical MRI scan. On average, 21 lymph nodes per patient with a range of 9 to 59 were surgically removed. And when you see that in the year, then you see that the number of lymph nodes per patient pre-surgically detected, removed, remained, and newly detected. You see that the number of nodes detected at preoperative MRI were at a median of 10, number of nodes found at pathological examination 21, so that is more than double. Number of nodes remained after pelvic lymphadenectomy, 4. Number of nodes in surgical area was 1. And the number of nodes previously undetected but visible at MRI postoperatively, 3. And that must be because of the reaction of on the operation. The conclusion of the benchmark study was that 42% of the surgically removed lymph nodes were detected on the pre-surgical MRI. So the pre-surgical MRI is not very specific to detect non-enlarged lymph nodes, only 42%. Although surgery is able to remove much more lymph nodes than detected by MRI, still approximately 14% of the lymph nodes seen on MRI are not removed in the definite surgical area. So also, at surgery, we seem not to remove all the lymph nodes that are there. Now we are doing similar studies on patients with positive nodes. That's going on, and I hope to tell you these results another time. So the state of the art is, in fact, if you go back to the literature, not to our own trial, but back to the literature, that the reported specificity of CT is 97% with a sensitivity that is in fact low, 25%, MRI specificity 97%, sensitivity 36%. And in fact there is no adequate non-invasive technique with an acceptable specificity of more than 90% and a sensitivity also of more than 90% and a high accuracy of more than 90% for lymph node imaging. That is why we are looking to other techniques than the conventional traditional MRI to look if we can get this sensitivity and specificity more improved. And one of the techniques is the USPIO MRI. And USPIO is a specific contrast agent that stands for dextran coated ultra small super paramagnetic iron oxide. So in fact you bring little iron particles into the lymph nodes and you are doing an MRI and look if you can make those lymph nodes visible. This is in fact a new class of MRI contrast agents specially designed for the evaluation of the reticular endothelial system within the lymph nodes. The iron oxide compounds are taken up by macrophages within lymph nodes after IV administration, and that's how they get into the lymph nodes. The USPIO is a non-registered drug. It's not registered by the FDA or not in Europe, so it's not on the market yet. How does it work? Well, you see here when you inject it into the vein, it's go into the macrophages, goes into the lymphatic channel, brought to the lymph node, and in the lymph nodes, there you see that it goes into the area where the lymphocytes are located, and when in the lymph node, a part of the lymph node is replaced by metastases, then you will see that there are no iron particles visible in that area. So you should say, here you see that this technique is not based on the size criterion, but on a metabolic criterion of the lymph node itself. And this gives you then possibilities as if the node, if the iron gives a blackening of the node on the imaging, if there is no blackening in the lymph node, then it's metastatic, and when it's totally black, then it's non-metastatic, and if it's partly black, then you have micrometastases in the lymph node. The SPO. Here you see an example of that. Here see you the conventional MRI. Here an MRI obtained 24 hours after the administration of SPO shows you a homogeneous decrease in signal intensity due to accumulation of the particles. And here you see a normal histological picture of that lymph node. And here you see the conventional MRI, high signal intensity, unenlarged iliac lymph node, and here you see that there is no signal intensity, it remains high, it's white, and here you see tumor. And here again, conventional MRI shows a high signal intensity, partly black, partly white, here again, and here you see tumor in the lymph node. And here again, this is a lymph node in the pelvis. After injection for SPO, you see that the lymph node is completely black. And here you see another one right before administration of SPO and right afterwards. Because SPO is used intravenously, lymph nodes through the whole body can be imaged with a single injection, and that is an advantage. Well, if you inject it, well, then in fact, the plasma half-time is about 35 hours. The iron is eliminated and comes infected to the blood pool, and one dose of SPO in this examination is similar to one unit of blood. There are until now no serious side effects, so it seems to be very safe. And what is very nice is that the results in the experimental setting are excellent. You see sensitivity 85 to 96, specificity 85 to 95, accuracy 85 to 97. Another technique I want to address shortly is the drips. In the drips you make use of the thermally induced behavior of molecules to move in a random pattern. In fact, also here you use the metabolism of the tumor and not the size criterion. You make use here of the Brownian movements of molecules. The drips has advantages over the PET scanning because there is no radiation involved and no large facilities are required. Here you see an example of the drips, also an experimental setting. This is a woman with ovarian cancer. When you suppress the background signals, you see that the peritoneal carcinomatosis here on the peritoneum becomes clearly visible. Well, gadolinium is another agent we are using now in the rat model. I cannot tell you very much about it, only that it is based on angiogenesis, that is enriched in, especially in tumors and metastases, but also this is, well, something we can report on future. Well, in conclusion, the MRI lymph node staging techniques can be relevant in several key areas. It can hopefully help to avoid unnecessary surgeries in node-positive patients, detect lymph nodes outside the surgical field, identify patients for neoadjuvant therapies, and it may guide radiation therapy in the future. And also maybe it may avoid invasive staging procedures. And now we think that that is based on our experimental data, that the combination of drips, and you see always when you are going to combine these techniques that you get better results, and combination of drips with probably contrast agents. And with these slides of the city where I come from, I want to thank you very much for your attention.